I am continuing through 1 Samuel, and I'm preaching now in 1 Samuel 17. So prepare your heart for this sermon. Remember God's blessings to trust Him for more. Let's pray. Father, I do hope that as I'm preaching, we will take this in, take this word from You by Your Spirit, and that we would utilize what You're teaching us to build us up, but to also be used in our lives to build up others. As we look to You in hope, remembering all of our blessings, in Christ Jesus' name, amen. And so I'm preaching on remembering God's blessings to trust Him for more. And we do all have blessings. You have many blessings. You have spiritual, emotional, mental, and physical blessings. And in this, you know, you could start listing your blessings and you could never stop. You're blessed to have a love relationship with the Lord. You are God's child in Christ. I mean, these blessings are huge, our relationship with God. But recognizing His blessings even is in the smallest things. You got to recognize that because it's so important. Recognizing God's active blessing helps you to look to His provision, His protection, and His purpose in your future, seeing what's going on now through eyes of blessing. So they're encouraging reminders that help you look to God for victory. Now, along this line, think of an old Christian song. It says, "When you are discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your many blessings, name them one by one. You will be encouraged with what the Lord has done. Amidst the conflict, whether great or small, do not be disheartened, God is over all. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. You will be strengthened by what the Lord has done." Now, this is what I'm talking about. And when the song speaks of being discouraged in the conflict, what it's talking about is life is war. And remembering your blessings helps when the conflict overwhelms you. Now, for me, I know the battle is ultimately the Lord's, but I also know the battle hurts. I feel it. I get worn out by the weight of the world. And I remember times in my life, I'm going along, and I don't feel very blessed. And I think we all go through that. But our feelings are not blessing erasers. They don't take away what God has done. And the Spirit reminds me of this. And I think of times of emotional distress, the uncertainty about what's going to happen. It's like a gut pain. It's a mental storm that I'm going through. You know, I'm all freaked out. Do you ever go through something like that? And I try to do what I know to do. Keep seeking God. Keep trying to trust Him. And the Bible guides me. But when I begin contemplating my blessings, blessings now, blessings of the past, I get a trust booster shot. And I remember that my salvation is a blessing. I realize that all through my saved life, there have been so many blessings, I could hardly count them all. I've helped people. People have helped me. I've been healed. God's made provision to meet needs in my life so many times in so many ways. It's over and over and over and over again. From family and friends, to country, community, church, so much more. When I call it what it is, blessing, then I see it all over my life. And that's what we have to do. We have to call it what it is, then we're going to see it. And the Holy Spirit guides us to see these things. I see it even though I experience tragedy. And I see it right there even though I'm experiencing pain. Because we all live in the same cursed world that Adam and Eve left us. And so you know what I mean. Life is a struggle. And the point is that in all these curses and all these conflicts, there's always been and is blessing. Time after time, God comes through. These experiences produce the memories of God's word at work in our lives. See, that's the encouragement lesson to augment hope and looking to Him in victory in our future. Now, the Spirit teaches this in 1 Samuel 17. Now, looking back into history, we see the people of God. They were blessed to be in God's Abrahamic and Mosaic covenants. Samuel told them in 1 Samuel 12, "Consider what great things God has done for you." In other words, remember your blessings from the blesser. Consider what great things God has done for you. They were blessed to be the people of God in their generation. They had victory after victory. Today, you are blessed to be in the Christ covenant of grace in Jesus. You are His person. You're His child. He thinks of you each moment in a very special, very loving way. You know, John 1, 12 through 13 says, those who receive him and believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, born of God. An amazing passage, John 1, 12 through 13. Well, you think about that, that's your foundational blessing. And so that principle to those covenant people is yours to take hold of and to use. Consider what great things God has done for you. Now, back then, the Philistines were out of covenant with God. Philistines. Their army was camped out over on the side of a valley. King Saul and the Israelite army were on the other side of a valley. The Philistines sent a champion warrior into the valley. His name was Goliath. Famous Goliath. We've probably all heard of Goliath. He was a huge man. He was a true giant, bigger than everyone else at over 9.5 feet tall. Now, Goliath's enormous size was part of his devastating power in battle. He was extremely intimidating. He was very strong. He wore a bronze helmet. He wore a bronze scale armor, which weighed about 125 pounds. That's a conservative estimate. So the weight of just wearing that scale armor attests to Goliath's strength. To be able to just to walk around with 125 pounds hanging off of you, you got this big bronze helmet on, but he also had bronze armor on his legs. He carried a solid bronze javelin slung between his shoulders. He also had a sword. So if you put those together, he carried at least another 75 pounds or more with him. And he also had a very big spear. It was a huge spear. His spear was so thick and long, it was described as being like a weaver's beam. Have you ever seen a weaver's beam? I have. They're about that big around. 12 feet long. That's about how long it was. Had an iron spearhead, which alone weighed 15 pounds. Goliath was also accompanied by a shield carrier who walked before him. And Goliath boldly walked into the valley to where Saul's army could hear him, and he arrogantly said, "Why do you come out to draw up in battle array? Am I not the Philistine, and you, servants of Saul?" Well, he thought he was superior, a Philistine, and Goliath, the champion warrior, the giant. And he called the Israelites servants of Saul. Think about that. Well, they did serve Saul in one sense. It was because they desired a king. So God told them, well, you're going to have a king and you're going to serve him. But first and foremost, they were servants of God. And serving God is a blessing. To be God's servant is a blessing. All who are in Christ Jesus are called, by the way, bondservants, bondslaves of God. And this is not a demeaning term. It's your strength. It's your security. It's your power. It's freedom. It's your blessing. See? In Christ, you are freed from the slavery that everyone inherits from Adam and Eve, the slavery to sin and death. And Jesus Christ sets you free from that by grace through faith in his blessing work. Remember your blessing, because that makes you into a slave of righteousness. You no longer serve the darkness. You're no longer in the ignorance. You serve the risen Lord according to the gospel. This is your blessing, and remember it. And so this is your encouragement as you look to him for victory in your future. But Israel, way before being faced by Goliath, Israel had forgotten their blessing. So they asked God to give them a human king like all the other nations. And in the whole process, God kept reminding them of his blessings. And then he reminded them of their self-inflicted memory problem. I brought you up from Egypt into Israel. I delivered you from the hand of the Egyptians, from the power of all the kingdoms. They were oppressing you. But you have rejected your God today. He who delivers you from all your calamities in blessing, delivers you from all your distresses in blessing. Yet you have said no, but set a king over us. They thought that was going to be the blessing. Well, now the king they wanted was a curse over him. And Goliath, the enemy, was right there before them. He's challenging them. Goliath said, "Choose someone to come to me. If he can kill me, then we will become your servants. But if I kill him, you will become our servants and serve us." He said, "I defy the ranks of Israel today. Give me a man to fight." Well, King Saul and his army were frozen by Goliath's bravado. And it says they were greatly afraid. They forgot the great things God had done. And so this valley taunting thing went on for, the scripture says, over 40 days. In the meantime, far off in Bethlehem, the boy David, the son of Jesse, had been chosen by God. He had been quietly anointed by Samuel to be king over Israel. And his main home life responsibility was tending the sheep of the family. Well, King Saul knew who David was. David would go play a harp for Saul when an evil spirit would come upon Saul. The spirit would depart, and Saul would become well, and then David would go back home to tend the sheep of his father, Jesse. During this wartime, the situation of war, David was at home, and three of David's older brothers were out there in the army with Saul. One day, David's father, Jesse, told David, "Take some food over to your brothers at the army camp." His father, Jesse, said, "Bring back the news of how my sons are doing." Well, David got someone to watch the sheep. He went to the camp, found his brothers at the battle line area. And as David was talking to his brothers, the Philistine champion Goliath, he came out and he began making his challenge again. David didn't know about him before, but here comes Goliath. You know, and Israelite warriors, they just ran away from the area in fear. Well, David wondered what was going on. Well, he was told about Goliath and how Goliath had come to defy Israel. And then David was told that King Saul will honor the man who kills Goliath, that the man would be given great riches, and that King Saul would give the man his daughter, and that King Saul would make the man's father's household tax exempt. Well, David said, "Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" David's oldest brother became angry with his little brother. He accused David of neglecting the father's flocks. He accused David of bad behavior. You know, he's telling David, "You're only here to watch the battle." But David was there because their father sent David to feed his sons and bring back news about what they were doing. David explained it. He said he did nothing wrong. He only asked a question. So David asked someone else the same question. He's given the same answer about Goliath and about Saul. And so then someone went and told Saul that David asked, "What will be done for the man who kills the Philistine and removes this disgrace from Israel? Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" Well, Saul had David brought to him. And David went to King Saul with bold faith. David told Saul, "Let no man's heart fail on account of the Philistine. Your servant will go and fight with him." Well, Saul could see that this was noble, but it was not convincing according to Saul's opinion. King Saul told David, "There's no way he could fight the Philistine because David's just a young boy." Saul explained that Goliath had been a warrior ever since his youth. But David remembered the Lord's blessing in all of this. This is what's going on in David's heart. He's thinking. He's remembering. And that's the point I'm preaching on. Remembering the Lord's blessing. Through spiritual eyes, David was trusting God. This is what the Lord wants us to do. He wants us to look through spiritual eyes, trust God. These kinds of memories are what you remember with a spiritual mind. And David knew the battle is the Lord's. David remembered that he had secretly been anointed to be the future king of Israel. Saul did not know it, but David did. David also remembered other blessings from the Lord. He's about to share those blessings with Saul, so Saul would do what? Trust God for more blessing. This is because remembering God's blessings in the midst of confusion, if someone's going through doubt or pain or whatever seems like defeat, it encourages you to look to him for victory in your future. And when you recognize that in the fight, the battle is the Lord's, you're remembering that you're part of the blessing in God's plan, and so you can share that with other people. And this is what David did. David shared the details, and he explained that when attending his father's sheep, a lion came and took a lamb from the flock. He's remembering. And so David chased down the lion, he attacked it, and he rescued the lamb from the lion's mouth. When the lion attacked David, David seized the lion by his beard, and he killed him. And then David explained that a bear came, did the same thing. David also killed the bear. Then David applied the memory of those blessings directly to the situation at hand. He said, "This uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, since he has taunted the armies of the living God." Well, David kept referring to Goliath as this uncircumcised Philistine. David kept pointing out that Goliath was out of covenant with the only God that lives. David was making it known that he understood that Goliath did not have God's blessing on himself. Goliath had God's curse on himself. Goliath did not need Israel blessing him with their own fear and defeat. See, Goliath deserved Israel's blessing of themselves of eliminating him. Goliath was taunting the armies of the living God. This whole scene was a much, much greater trespass than a lion or a bear taking a sheep. And so we're witnessing the ministry of remembering. When you remember, you get others to see it. You're seeing it. You know, you're ministering to yourself. You're ministering appreciation, faith, and hope, and you're also ministering it to them. You see, David's language about calling the Philistine uncircumcised, out of covenant with God, someone who's dishonoring God, was already getting everyone's minds there, listening to him, on track. Now they're remembering, see? And among everyone, David was the only one not focusing on armies of men against armies of men. He focused on God against the Philistines. He saw this whole Goliath taunt as a disgrace on the people that God owned. We are God's property. He saw pagans defying God as more than an affront to Saul and the pride of people. It was big, bigger than that. And so now David got Saul to listen with understanding. Saul was getting it. He was being ministered to. Saul was being reminded of the blessings of God on his covenant people. He was also being reminded of the blessings of God in David's life. So David went on using the memory principle that I'm preaching, and he said, "The Lord who delivered me from the claw of the lion and from the claw of the bear will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine." That right there is the principle in action. Remember the blessings to trust the blesser for more. This ministry method was so effective, King Saul told David, "Go, fight, and may the Lord be with you." Now, this is amazing, because this is the same King Saul who was known for disobeying the Lord. God had turned his back on Saul. Samuel already told Saul, "The Lord has ripped the kingdom from you. He's given it to another man, a man after God's own heart." Saul didn't know it, but Samuel was talking about David. And now David's right there. And in Saul's calling, Saul should have been the one to go down. He should have been the one to fight Goliath. Even if it meant getting all of his men around him to follow him in one massive flood to overwhelm Goliath and then just to continue to pour forward over the rest of the Philistine army. I mean, Saul didn't have to go do it by himself, but he should have gone. And the thing is, Saul was not following the Lord's guidance. But now, just like David's ministry of playing his harp to get the evil spirit to leave Saul, we see what happened when David recounted his own blessings from the Lord to Saul. Saul had renewed faith to let young David go fight. And Saul added that detail, "Go, and may the Lord be with you." And that's the point. Remember God's blessings to trust him for more as you go with the Lord, knowing he's with you. Always has been, always will be. In life, remember, it's always you and him. He never leaves you or forsakes you, no matter what. He's constantly whispering that in my ear. And he should be whispering that in your ear, in your heart, all the time. Look for what you do to influence others to do the same in these things also. Being called to be God's servant in Christ means he's called you to be part of his body of Christ, his people and his son. And so your own experiences, your own blessings, you got to think of them this way. They're testimonies which you can actually strengthen and encourage and uplift your brothers and sisters. I mean, even if you think, you know, it's not, that doesn't work, it does. God uses that. You become a blessing of God to others. And this is what was happening right there with, you know, little David and big King Saul. So Saul gave David his battle gear. David puts it on, put a bronze helmet on David's head. Saul did. Saul put his own armor on David. David also wore Saul's sword. But there was a problem. All of this stuff he's wearing was too cumbersome. David didn't even know how to operate with any of it on. Saul's armor was so foreign to David, it was as foreign as allowing a pagan to think that he could defeat God's covenant people a blessing. David said, "I can't go out wearing all this." So David just took it off. Instead, he took what he understood. He took what he was familiar with in protecting and directing the flocks. He took what he defeated the lion and the bear with. David took his little shepherd's stick. And he also took his slingshot. And then he went over to a brook, and he picked out 5 stones, and he put them in his shepherd's bag. And then he walked toward Goliath. But David was taking something else. He took faith with him. He took the memories of God's blessings with him. Well, Goliath walked toward David, sneered at David because he's just a boy. Goliath said, "Am I a dog that you come to me with sticks?" And it says the Philistine cursed David by his gods. But Goliath's gods were all fake, false, dead gods. And believing in them was a curse on his own self. David, on the other hand, remembered the true God, the living God, and he's trusting in him. Now, do you notice the turmoil in our country? You should. There's turmoil all over the place. We get turmoil in our families. A lot of us are being hard hit by things, you know, tragedies. But there's all kinds of stuff going on around us that overwhelms us. It looms over us, giants. And then there's so many voices in our country. I've been studying about it lately, the roots of some of the stuff they believe. They're giants relying on their false gods, their false beliefs, their false news, their false causes. Do you see obstacles in your own life, in your marriage, in your finances, in your health? I do all the time. I mean, you got to be relating to that. Here's what we do. Remember your blessings, but start with the foundational blessing. You are on the side of the one true God. See? So keep remembering him. That's the foremost memory. Keep remembering his blessings that come from him. And then you're trusting not the blessings, you're trusting him. See? And so Goliath said, come to me, and I will give your flesh to the birds of the sky and the beasts of the field. But David said, you come to me with a sword, a spear, and a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have taunted. The Lord will deliver you into my hands today. I will strike you down and remove your head from you. And today I will give the dead bodies of the army of the Philistine to the birds of the sky and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth will know that there is a God in Israel, and that all this assembly, very important statement, will know that the Lord does not deliver by sword or spear, because the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. So there it is again, the testimony. I mean, you want all the assembly to know that the blessing comes because the Lord delivers, and it's into our hands. We're all God's special children in Christ. You know, you want others to know that he does not deliver according to the ways people think must be the method. He delivers into our hands. It's like the Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 1:25 to 27. It's not like people think. He said, consider your calling, that there are not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to shame the things which are strong. Well, that's you, because the battle is the Lord's. So Goliath started toward David. David ran quickly toward the battle line. He's going to go meet him. David took a stone from his bag. He slung it. It hit Goliath directly on his forehead. And the stone actually hit so hard, the scripture says it sank into Goliath's head. And then he fell down on his face. David ran to Goliath. He took Goliath's sword out of his sheath, and he finished him off. And then he cut off his head. David cut off Goliath's head. And when the Philistines saw their so-called champion was dead, they took off running. And what do you think was going on with Israel? What happened to their memories? Well, a new memory's added. What is it? They're all just standing there watching this whole scene, and they see little David walk up and kill this giant. See? So what they did is they started running toward the Philistines based on the memory that was emboldening them in their faith to go forward for the blessing. And they killed the enemy, it says, throughout the land. And David put Goliath's weapons in his tent. And when David returned from killing the Philistine, he went to Saul with the Philistine's head in his hand. Saul asked David, whose son are you, young man? David answered, I am the son of your servant Jesse, the Bethlehemite. And we find out that David did marry Saul's daughter. He did get riches. And his dad, Jesse, was blessed. Ultimately, in the future, David ruled as king of Israel. So the urging is to do this. Keep remembering the ways God has blessed you. Use that as faith-building trust in him for more blessings. Be sensitive to the Spirit on this. Be expecting God's miracles in your life. And be very, very thankful. Always give God the credit for his blessings. Don't take the credit, give it to him. And then do this, share it with others. Build them up too. You see how it works. You see how we all build each other's up by recognizing, remembering, and blessing. What it is, it's worship. It's glorifying God. And then what that does, it emboldens more worship in your life as living worship each day. Amen? Let's pray. Father, I thank you so much for this word. I just do ask that you constantly, no matter what we're going through, keep us remembering your blessings. Keep us bolstered by these memories of the great things that you have done, to trust that you will do more great things in our lives each and every day. We give all of this to you in Christ Jesus' name. Amen.